This is a positivity podcast. We will discuss ships of all shapes and sizes. From the pure to the problematic, no ship is off limits. Any ship discussed in this episode is a work of fiction. It's not real, so therefore, it doesn't really matter. If you don't like the OTP we discuss in this episode, why don't you go outside, take a walk, and don't listen to this episode. We'll see you next time. Welcome back to the One True Podcast, a podcast where we talk about OTPs, shipping, One True Pairings, and all of that great stuff. We're back for another part two episode, and this one I know for sure is a favorite of many listeners. So first and foremost, who are you, my special guest, and what would you like to be called on this show?
Hello, my name is Audrey. That's what I'd like to go by. And I also go by Audrey And with three underscores on TikTok and Twitter.
How would you even say that if you were just to say the name Audrey? underscores, like your voice gets lower.
I go by, there's like a friend of mine brought it up. It's like, you don't know. Originally I made the account long before I knew what kind of content I wanted to make. So I just kind of left it. It's like Audrey and it's like the fill in the blank was the open-ended part in case I wanted to do something else.
Oh.
Because like lots of friends of mine have usernames that are themed to the show that they make the most content for. And I'm like, I want to leave it open-ended.
That's smart. So what are we making content for today? Who is the OTP we are bringing back for another round of poking and prodding?
The OTP that we are talking about today is Sakuatsu from Haikyuu.
Ah, them. So for those of us living under a rock, Audrey, could you tell us who are Atsumu and Sakusa? I literally almost forgot his name.
It's funny because it's like one of them uses the first name of the ship and one of them uses the last name of the ship. So I, like, my brain goes blank sometimes on it too. All right. They are Atsumu Miya and Sakusa Kiyomi from Haikyuu. They are characters that make an appearance in the fourth season and later in the anime. And they eventually end up in the time skip on the professional volleyball team. I'm gonna get it wrong. It's either MSBY or MSBY, depending on who you ask. And they are on the same team as the main character, Hinata Shoyo.
Hell yeah. So why did you first start shipping them?
This is such a funny story. So around March of last year, I was fading out of my previous hyperfixation and I was going through like kind of a rough patch just in my personal life. And I was like, I need something to make me happy. And one evening I was just randomly scrolling through Tumblr. That's definitely going to age me. But, and I came across Kumri, Ali, the like Sakuatsu prophet that she is, her art way back when she was doing the Roommates AU. I think a lot of people that follow Sakuatsu know what I'm talking about with that one. And I was like, oh, wow, this is so cool. I wonder who these characters are. And I turned to a friend of mine and said, hey, do you know who these characters are? And she just laughed at me because she said, Audrey, only you would be avoiding Haikyuu for like 2 years. And then when you get into it, you pick characters that don't show up until the fourth season. I was like, well, maybe I could be inspired to watch the show. I don't know. And she's like, okay, we'll find a time. And in my impatience to start watching the show with her, I was like, let me just see what's on AO3. Like, let me see what these boys are all about. And as many people know, if you sort by hits when you do Sakuatsu, the first thing that comes up is Terminal Curiosity. So I found fan art and read all of Terminal Curiosity before I watched a single episode of Haikyuu. So my introduction to them was very backwards, but I eventually did watch the show, absolutely obsessed with it, and then finally got to season 4 and got to the boys.
I feel like this is a trend that's happening more and more, though, where people actually find the OTP through fan art and fan fiction. A couple episodes this season, we have had similar instances, and I think that's actually pretty cool. Also, shout out to friend of the podcast, Lumi. Hey, girl. More people like your fanfic. So, that's really cool. So what were the moments then in canon that really solidified, yes, Sakuatsu is the OTP for me?
That's the tricky thing I feel like about this ship. We are given I joke to friends of mine, it's like we are given absolute crumbs and the fandom has turned it into an absolute feast because there really isn't much with them yet in the anime. Like we have a couple, I think it's like one line or like one brief interaction because in season four that when Kageyama goes to, oops, spoilers if people haven't gotten there yet, but when Kageyama goes to the training camp for the like youth national team, we first see Sakuza interact with him. And he's like, what are you doing here? Like, why is Nusajima here? Like, he's usually the person that comes from Miyagi and he's all upset because he has very few, in canon, he has very few friends. And he's like, why is my one friend not here? I'm sad. And then Atsumu is a bit of an asshole to him, like calls him a goody two shoes and it like rocks his psyche. And they have like one super, super tiny moment where like, I think Sakuza like hits the ball to Atsumu because they're on like opposite teams and they're like scrimmage. And really, that's kind of all we get. We see them, we see Sakuza watching the Karasuno Inarizaki match at one point, but really there isn't much. There is more when we get later into the manga, but I think people just took it and ran with it. It's like these two characters work well together because they're both similar types of people, even if they don't interact all that much.
I'm not going to argue with you. They definitely did run with it, for sure. And it's kind of crazy. I've been in Haikyuu since 2020, and watching the meteoric rise of Saku Atsu literally taking over the top 10 most popular ships on AO3 is very insane. Yeah, that was a day.
That was a day.
Where were you on the day Sakuhatsu surpassed Kuroken?
I know exactly where I was. I was talking to friends of mine and I made a video about it on my TikTok where I dressed up as the personification of the ship. I was wearing like a yellow dress and had like black lipstick and I had this black shawl. And I thought this would be hilarious. It was that TikTok audio that was trending a couple months ago that was like, you have no right to the throne. It's like, no, but I do, because they hit 10,000 fix and they passed Kuroken like on the same day. It was crazy.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. So what about their character dynamic are you really drawn to then?
The thing that I like the most about it, I think, is the antagonism. Like, it gets stated both in canon and then restated in fanon a lot, that it's like, oh, they're both jerks, they're both really blunt, they're both unafraid to speak their mind, even though they kind of come at it from like a different perspective and like different reasons for that. They're less inclined to admit, especially I think on Sakuza's part, and largely a lot of this is from fanon, but I think it's a good reading of both of their characters. They're less inclined to admit how much they have in common, so that like, rivals to lovers, enemies to lovers, idiots to lovers, like combination that we get because they don't see what's happening. Like the way that builds in most like fanfic is just, oh, chef's kiss. It's so good.
What about their relationship in the time skip then really, you know, do you enjoy? Because that's where most of their interactions happen. So what's something from there that you really kind of cling to? What's a crumb that you particularly enjoy?
One aspect that I really enjoyed, like when we got to the exhibition match, it just it warmed my heart when I found out that like Sakuza and Atsumu and Bokuto as well are all still on Mizby. Like that, just that little detail was like, okay, so they actually did I know it might not be because of each other, but the fact that they stuck together. And just like, honestly, the way in which it's very opposites attract, like that whole aspect that we get, and like Atsumu teasing Sakuza and Sakuza being like, what the fuck, do not touch me. Like, just, I don't know. I think it's so funny when you have any ship that they don't necessarily think they're good for each other, but everyone else is like, oh my god, you two are so freaking obvious. And I think that's the crumbs that I think people are running with. They're like, you know, in Hercules, the I Won't Say I'm In Love song, that just feels like them, of like, no, this is ridiculous. There's no way. And then they just end up together anyway.
So then when you are reading fanfic or looking at fan art and fan comics, do you like to read from one person's point of view more than the other? Do you like Atsumu's or Sakuza's more?
Okay, I thought about this. When you gave me this question, it was like, ooh, I really had to sit down and think about it. When it's canon verse, like even something like Terminal Curiosity or just any of the ones that feel like they're set in the Haikyuu universe, I usually tend to lean towards Atsumu's perspective, and I definitely think his, oh, how do I phrase this? His arrogance and, like, confidence and cockiness, which I often think is, like, a screen, bleeds into, like, insecurity. He starts out like, yeah, why wouldn't Sakuza like me? And it's like, oh, why does Sakuza like me? Oh, no. And that angle that we get in canon verse, I always like to read from Atsumu's perspective. But with AUs and, like, alternate universe and just any of that sort of thing, I tend to read Sakuza's perspective. I don't know why, but it's just, I like that division. And I was looking down the list of, like, okay, what fics have I read recently? And that's typically how my divide goes.
So then what makes a good Sakuza point of view, in your opinion?
Oh, I think his opinion that he formulates of Atsumu, that he's just like, he thinks he's one way because he hears from, like, hearsay and what other people are telling him. It's like, this is the kind of person that Atsumu is. And then when he goes to meet him, usually there's, like, an antagonistic spat or, like, whatever in their first introduction to each other. And Atsumu kind of matches his energy. And they always, like, the best Sakuatsus, especially when it's, like, high fantasy or, like, sci-fi or anything like that, are when they get off on the wrong foot, because it just leads to whether or not it was, like, they liked each other the whole time. It just leads into that, like, antagonistic spirit that we get from their brief, brief interactions in canon, just translated into a good fic. It's just, oh, it's so good.
So based on what you're telling me, they kind of really fit that rivals or enemies to lovers trope, yeah?
Oh, 100%, 1,000%.
So then do you find yourself being pulled towards those type of narratives even in the other ships that you like, or is Sakuatsu a special case?
No, Sakuatsu is the blueprint for me. But I, my friends make fun of me for this one. It's like, of course you'd end up liking what you like, because I also am, I fell down the rabbit hole with, like, Ushioi actually after listening to your episode on it. I was like, let me go see what this is all about. And I, oh God, if you're looking for antagonism, there's a ship with antagonism. And I like the, I said antagonist like 1,000 times in this episode, but I definitely like the characters that are, like, on the antagonistic slice of the show. Like, I'm a huge, huge Oikawa girly, really, really like Usajima. Resultingly, love Atsumu. I like the parallelism that we get with Sakuatsu, and when we get it, excuse me, paralleled with Suna Osa. Like, they're less antagonistic because they feel, usually when they're written, a little bit more domestic, but you still get the idiots to lovers aspect with them. Like, yeah, if you can give me a bit of rivalry that leads to, like, romantic or even sexual tension, I'm there. I'm sold.
So as I always say, we love the canon is so great, but sometimes we crave a little something extra. So Audrey, have you made anything extra for your OTP?
Yes, I have. I make a lot of content on TikTok, and very randomly, a couple of months ago, I did a Sakuatsu video that was Sakuza as, like, this mafia boss and, like, Atsumu as, like, a high school teacher. I thought it was, like, very opposites attract, and it was just a random one-off video, and it ended up doing quite well. I think it got over 10,000 views, and I was like, oh, okay, this is great. Let it sit for, like, a month and did nothing with it. And then I was like, maybe I want to revisit this one. And I added onto it with, like, an Ushiten video, and it was all set in the same universe, and that one really took off, and I was like, maybe I could do more with this. So I'm, like, up to, I think, like, gosh, like 27 videos now, and I'm essentially the halfway point of this series. It is just, like, totally taken off. People have been so enthusiastic about it. And it's about half of the cast is like in the mafia, and like half of the cast are just normal people or in the police. And it's very, very enemies to lovers. There is a direction that it's going, but the central ship in all of that is Sakuza is the leader of this like mafia organization, and Atsumu's just a regular high school teacher who then finds out that Sakuza leads the mafia. And it's got, today I just dropped an episode, it's so funny to call it an episode, like an episode where we get introduced to Osamu for the first time, and he works for the mafia, but Atsumu doesn't know. So like that was a whole big, it turned out from such small beginnings, very Sakuatsu theme, from such small beginnings, it turned into a whole huge thing, which people have been liking it. So that's very fun. And I also have one long form fic that I'm in the middle of writing. I'm so sorry to anyone that's been like trying to keep up with it because I put it such on the back burner. But it's called Of Monsters and Men, which is kind of like magical realism. Lots of the Haikyuu, it's a huge cast again. I've bitten off way more than I can chew. That's like magical realism for just all of the Haikyuu characters. Like Sakuza's a vampire and he's also a lawyer, and like Atsumu is a succubus or incubus because he's a guy, and there's like Kageyama's in it and he's a werewolf, and Oikawa is a siren, and it's just like there's a lot of characters in it. And I've been, it's gonna be so long when it's done, that one, and then two fics that I'm working on for late submissions for Angst Week, which I fell so behind the eight ball on that one. They're almost done, but those are both Sakuatsu related as well.
Very cool. So I want to kind of backtrack because I am really bad at TikTok. So how does it work when you do your episodes? Like how do you share stories essentially on that app?
So usually what I do is I have an outline for what I want to do for the whole story. And it didn't start out that way. But what I end up doing is I spend way more time than I should just scrolling through. And if I find an audio that I think tells the bit of the story that I want to tell, like in the shorter videos, the ones that are like 15 seconds, like most recently, in this, Sakuza ends up banishing Oikawa because Iwa got kidnapped, and Oikawa goes on like a rampage, and basically as a peacemaking offering with the police, Sakuza, who's the leader, says like Oikawa's been exiled for like 5 years. He goes to Argentina and then he comes back, but he and Iwa haven't really talked about their feelings yet. And I don't know if you remember the scene. This is so random. Remember the scene from Captain America, the movie? There's the bit where he holds up his shield and goes, "What do you think?" And she shoots it and goes, "Yes, yes, I think it works." And I used that audio for like, he was like head of security and he like makes like weapons and shields, and he makes like this bulletproof jacket that's, and Oikawa just shoots the jacket. And like, I used that audio. But with other ones, I will just find like longer songs that are like a minute long clip if I just don't want to match the audio, but I just want a conversation between the two characters. Like there was one that I did that was Sakuatsu related that was a flashback to the first time they met, and it had a section of the dialogue that lined up with the lyrics of the song, but for the most part, it was just like blank. And the nice thing about TikTok is you can stitch the videos together. Like I have the best followers in the universe. They will often ask me questions that are related to the plot, and it's like, okay, so you guys can kind of see where this is going, and you can stitch your videos together if you tie it to a question. So I'll often lead to the next part answering someone's question from one of the previous videos. And that's how the story ends up getting tied together rather than just like a bunch of random videos that are just like scattered on the internet. It helps people be able to find the next part in the series.
That's really cool. I like how you take audio clips and put that into your storytelling. I think that's something that makes TikTok really unique. Very cool. All right, so now is the time of the episode where you are going to recommend some good Sakuatsu fanfic. I know you name dropped a couple before, but feel free to add as many as you want to the list. Let's get it rolling.
Awesome. So I hesitate to tell people to start with Terminal Curiosity, even though that's what I did. It's a lot. It's, for people that don't know, it is extremely smutty. It's like in 9 parts. It's almost done. I think there's going to be a 10th part. Really good. Sets up, like, I think a very good interpretation of their dynamic, but it is, woo, it is smut right from the pop. So if that's not your cup of tea, there are other places to start. The one that really, really sold me on this ship was A Liar's Truth. I think it's by Internet Pistol. I think quite a few people have read it, but it's Sakuza having a lot of issues with, like, his parents being religious and, like, feeling like he can't be with Atsumu. There are some amazing, amazing lines in that one. Also by Internet Pistol, there is Bound, which is an AU where they're both actors. There's lots of other characters in it that, like, give it a little bit of spice. But that one's really, really intense. Recommended to me by Rosie Really Sucks, who's also on TikTok. She has amazing Sakuatsu recs. Another AU that I really like, All Other Boys in Other Ports by Buttonstock. It's, like, kind of like fantasy sci-fi put together. That one will break your heart. It's, like, space age long distance relationship. I have been in a long distance relationship in the past, so that one hit me in the feels. That's a really good one. I'm also a big advocate for a well-written ABO that, like, talks about, like, gender dynamics. So Chance by Changeling Child. They are, oh gosh, enemies to husbands to rivals to friends to lovers, in that order. So it's a wild ride, that one. And another ABO, You Make a Mess of Me, which is more smutty, but it, like, deals with anxiety, and that's a really, really good one. One that shattered my heart into a million pieces, but I love angst. And Still I Dream He'll Come to Me by Steal the Stars. Oh my god, it is a death fic. It is devastating. It is so well written and so worth the read. And there's a bunch of other ones, but, like, if you're looking for some, like, good starter fix, I think those are some great places to start.
And we will have all the links to these fanfictions for the recs in our show notes. All right, so who are some fan artists you want to give a shout out to?
Oh, so many to name, but just to name a few. Kumari Ali, the person who did the Roommates AU that is now doing, like, the Love Child AU with, we've got, like, the Sakuatsu child and the Kagehina child. There's, like, blossoming romance with the two of them going on in her series right now. All of her art is amazing. Throttle does a really, really good job at smut. Oh my god, it's so gorgeous. Inaru Jade is doing a Vampire Hunter AU with Sakuatsu and Suna Osa. That's a really good one. Inkani did a, like, anxiety AU that was, like, Sakuza being there for Atsumu when he's dealing with insecurities. Also a vampire AU that was really good. Drawn by Mabel, who hasn't been posting as much lately, has this painter, like, Atsumu's, like, paints a lot, and he keeps painting Sakuza's face, even though he's never met him before, and he keeps seeing him in his dreams. That one's really good. Dikte, who's Diksumu, who does a lot of smut, but also some, like, really tender Sakuatsu moments that are just, like, so, so sweet. And one more, I never know how to pronounce this person's name, and I'm so sorry. I think it's Eri, who it's A-O-1-R-I-E, who does a Spider-Man and Deadpool art that Sakuatsu themed. Oh my god, it's so gorgeous. Like, there's so many amazing, amazing Sakuatsu fan artists, but Twitter, in my opinion, is the best place to go.
Is Twitter the best place to go?
I definitely think so. I can fall down a rabbit hole on Twitter with, like, Sakuatsu art so easily. So, so easily.
It's for however long Twitter still has left to last.
Oh. I mean, all of the ones I just named are also on Tumblr. So if you want to be, like, vintage and hop over there, I, like, cross-reference with the two of those. I feel like I've got the three T's are where I go for my content on Haikyuu. Like, Tumblr, Twitter, TikTok. Like, that's where I go.
It's so weird that they all start with the letter T.
I know, right?
Wow. All right. So now, when you are looking for the good Sakuatsu content to consume, do you tend to gravitate more towards canon-compliant or AU narratives?
It's so tricky because when you go for, like, canon-compliant, even that is a bit of a stretch. Like, I feel like everyone who is a Zagoats fan has to, at their core, know that it's like, we took a rare pair and we absolutely ran with it. It's like, I think it's so funny that this ship has, as much as I love it, it's so funny to me that this ship has exploded as much as it has, because at the end of the day, I feel like Haikyuu, with the cast as big as it is, it's kind of like a game of musical chairs. And when you really got down to the end, Atsumu and Sakuza were kind of two of the last people standing, and people were like, hey, I think it'd be great if they ended up together. So very limited canon interactions. But when it's set in canon verse, the idiots to lovers opportunity, like when I'm looking for something almost a bit fluffier with angst, I've seldom, like, Hurt Comfort is always, I think, the brand that I go for. I always go for canon compliant. But there are so many brilliant AUs in this ship. Like, the variety is absolutely insane. Like, high fantasy, sci-fi, like, movie stars. I saw one that was even zombies one time. There's just so, so, so much that you can work with. So I think I end up leaning a bit more towards the AU. But when it's set in canonverse, the way that people can get amazing, amazing, amazing examinations of character are just, oh, it's just so perfect. So I think I'd say I prefer AUs, but I will never say no to a good canonverse.
So then what are the moments within the canonical timeline that you like to read fix from?
I think I really love the 2019-2020 season when we've got Sakuza, Atsumu, Bokuto, Hinata on Mizby, and we've got Usajima, Kageyama, Hoshiyumi on the Adlers. Like, any bit that I get to see interactions between the Adlers and Mizby just warms my heart, because it's always a little bit dumb, but in a way that's like, they grew up from the versions of themselves in high school, but they're still kind of idiots at the end of the day. They're like, everyone loves their volleyball idiots, but any of those era interactions, especially because I think with those seven, whenever they interact, even though Atsumu, like, on his own is a bit, like, just kind of all over the place, I feel like because he's been in the V-League for so long, when things, like, on a night out, things get a little ridiculous, he ends up being more responsible, which it's always funny to do that because I think it flips the inversion of the perspective that people have on him. So anything from that era, that season, because you can also have, like, background flirtation, Kagehina, and also if you have, like, the Adlers and Mizby trying to get them together, it gives Sakuatsu an opportunity to, like, look at their own relationship. So looking at that season, anything that rotates around that era is top tier, in my opinion.
Nice. Then what are, let's say, three AUs that you would like to manifest for Sakuatsu? I know there are a lot already, but what are three that you really would love to see in the world?
You know, okay, one of my dear friends and mutuals, Lee Lovell, Lee on TikTok, is in the fledgling stage of writing a Grey's Anatomy AU that is, like, going to include more than just, like, a really, really broad swath of the cast. But I just think there are some art that I've seen that's, like, either Atsumu working as a nurse, or, like, Sakuza working as a doctor, or flip the other way around, or they're both doctors or both nurses. I feel like the antagonism of they care a lot about what they do from canon translated into, like, a high-stakes, like, hospital AU. If anyone has any recommendations for a good hospital AU that exists, I would love to see it, but I'm waiting patiently for Lee's series to come out, if it ever does. That one would be a good one. I have such a random soft spot for if anything gets turned into a Shakespeare, like, any aspect is, like, a Shakespeare play. So I'd love to see what people could do with that, because I don't think it's really been done before. Again, if it exists and someone can link it to me, please let me know. And I'm trying to think of another one that's, like, hasn't been done already, or, like, I'd like to see done in a different way. Oh, I was thinking the other day about a fic that I haven't read that is criminal that I haven't read, but Mechanical Hearts. I would love to see another interpretation of, like, artificial intelligence, or, like, I don't know if anyone's seen the movie Gattaca. It came out in, like, the early 2000s, like, gene editing or, like, anything like that.
to make like a perfect person. I feel like the pressure of that fits the, like, to use a fancy word, the oeuvre of like Sakuatsu. I'd love to see any of those.
Awesome. So now we're rounding up to that penultimate question. It's soapbox time, Audrey. If you've got anything else you want to say about Sakuatsu, now is the time.
Oh gosh, there's so much I want to say about Sakuatsu. It's so, oh God. I think it's the kind of ship that I often talk to friends of mine that it's like there's a big parallelism, I think, between like Iwaoi as being like the ship for like the early years of the fandom. It still is the ship. Like it's like the hot girl on campus ship. But I do find it kind of funny how as we moved later, I air quotes, later into the years of the fandom, like as the people in the fandom matured and the fandom itself like got older, it's funny to see how it's like Sakuatsu is like the later stage result of like Iwaoi-ness. And I find it kind of funny that people that are like have Iwaoi and Sakuatsu butting heads, it's like they are siblings that don't want to admit that they get along as well as they do. They're like siblings with like a pretty significant age gap. The great evidence that I have for this is like both of you use Usajima as the shipwrecker, which is so funny to me that it's like that poor man is shipwrecker twice in like the same series. I think it's the kind of ship that is born out of the fandom growing up as much as it is like us getting to the end of the series. And I think it's just the kind of ship that makes me really happy because of how creative everyone is. Because we literally took, I say this all the time, we took crumbs and made a feast because there's just so little to go off of, but there is so much content out there. There's this one comic, I'm going to kick myself because I can't remember the artist, that was released right when the two movies got announced and everyone was freaking out. And it's a bit of a breaking the fourth wall that Atsumu is like, what do you mean they're gonna like cut out all our scenes? And Sokka's sitting there like, what scenes? It's like, you know, the like antagonism and the banter. And he's like, Atsumu, we have like 10 frames together. There is nothing. It's like, what are you talking about? It's like, the fandom made it up. We exist together because the fandom took it and ran with it. And then they just kiss in like the last frame of the comic. It's so silly. But I just feel like that really sums it up. It's just the kind of ship that the fandom is at the creative peak. It was the perfect storm with like the pandemic giving people lots of time to think. And it's just the culmination of the brainchild of the whole fandom put together, and it just makes me so happy.
Wonderful. Wow, that was such a very, like, succinct soapbox pitch.
Nice. I think about them a lot, I will admit.
That's why you're on the show. Literally. So now, it's that time, friends. You already know what it is, the final question of the show. So, Audrey, if you could sum up your OTP in 3 to 5 words, or maybe a short sentence, what would that be?
Okay, I put this in my notes, and I think there's, I have, like, 3 catchphrases that I think sums them up. Idiots to Lovers, I think, is very canon verse. Like, it's just, they are very intelligent when it comes to what they do. They're both, like, very, very smart when it comes to volleyball. But the social aspect, they're so dumb. They cannot see what is staring right in front of their faces. So Idiots to Lovers sums them up. I mentioned this briefly before. I put in air quotes, last men standing. Because with, I wasn't in the fandom at this point, but I have heard rumors about it, and it's really funny to think about. I do know that people very early on were shipping Komori and Sakuza, and when people found out that they were cousins, it like broke up that ship and made everyone a little bit paranoid that it's like, are other people related and we just don't know it? And because of that, they kind of were right at the end, the last men standing, and in a way, in this giant Haikyuu game of musical chairs, it's a good pair that just happens to be one of the last ones. And I put, as I said before, crumbs that became a feast, and I put feast in all capital letters because that's really what happened with these boys.
And here we are today, number 7 in the top 10 of Haikyuu ships on AO3. They're higher now? Oh boy.
Yeah, I think they're up to number 4, if you can believe it.
Good for they.
Good for them.
Good for her.
Good for her.
Anyway, thank you, Audrey, so much for coming on the show to talk about Saku Atsu again. Love hearing the different, of course, yeah, I love hearing the different point of views from different types of shippers, from different walks of joining the fandom. Because, yeah, I think the last person I had was a second wave Saku Atsu, and you're definitely a third wave Saku Atsu.
Yes, 100%.
So now's the time where you can plug your stuff. Where can people find you on social media? What are your ats?
My ats are, you can find my fanfics on AO3. They are Gladiator Tale. I made the username when I was like 14, and I didn't actually get into fic reading until 2019. I'm very late to the game on that, but I just pulled that as a username that I liked, that I thought was a good writer one. So Gladiator Tale on AO3, and I'm on Twitter and TikTok as Audrey and with 3 underscores on the end.
And if you like what you heard, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe. We have a shit ton of episodes in our backlog about Atsumu, about Sakusa, about other Haikyuu boys, and we do have a previous Saku Atsu episode that you can check out at your leisure. We're found on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts are readily available and easy to listen to. Our t-shirt fundraiser for the Center for Reproductive Rights is still going on, so if you would like to support the show and show people you have S-tier taste in podcast, you can buy some merch. Who knows, maybe we'll have a shirt based off of this episode, because I really do love the "we made a feast out of these crumbs" like that's so good. Put that on a t-shirt. So you can find that on our social media links and our link tree and all that. Our social media will always be at The One True Pod, because I'm pretty good at stealing handles so other people can't take it. We are on the 3 T's, Twitter, TikTok, and Tumblr. Whether or not I actually post on those is, you know, very dependent on how I am feeling mentally. So, you know, there's that. But we're all there. We got ship positivity, memes, things like that. And you can find us at The One True Pod. And if you want to be a guest on the show, all you got to do is slide into my DMs or send me an email at theonetruepod@gmail.com. One more time, thank you, Audrey, for coming on the show, and I'll see you next time. Bye.